Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Shane Dennis, Bruce Hurdle with you here on your station for sports, KFH. Go to the phones now, and I know it's only been a couple of days. Dan Israel from Chiefs Radio Network joins us now. And any kind of loss in the AFC title game is going to be painful. Where does that one rate on your meter, 1 to 10, Dan, and losing to in overtime to the Patriots and Patrick Mahomes never touched the ball?
Yeah, a guy said yesterday to me, he said, you just got to pull the Band-Aid off all at once. It's like, it's not like pulling a Band-Aid off. It's more like being cut and needing stitches here.
Yeah.
We were a coin flip away from the Super Bowl, man.
Yep. I mean,
that's tough. It's hard to accept, especially on a team that you really feel like could have beaten the Patriots had they played better. Let's face it, guys, 1 point in the first half, that game doesn't go into overtime.
At least, and I don't know, this may be putting an incredible shine on it, and I apologize if I'm too casual about this, but I do believe that there is at least not the fatalistic sense of, oh my God, the other shoe's going to drop, we're the Chiefs, we figure out ways to lose. This was a heavyweight battle, mano a mano, two of the great quarterbacks in the game, both past and present, getting after it. The game was classic. The Patriots won the coin flip and went down the field and scored, and that was it. This had nothing to do with the curse of playoffs and things of this nature. From that standpoint, at least there was progress.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. You know, this is not a situation where the ghosts of the past revisited. This is a situation purely where the Kansas City Chiefs belonged in that game, and had they progressed to the Super Bowl, they would have proven that they belonged there as well. I really feel like, you know, when you're talking about losing a game in overtime to arguably the greatest coach to ever coach and arguably the greatest quarterback to ever play quarterback, and you lost it in overtime, there's no reason to believe that the Chiefs, aren't going to be back to this game. They aren't going to be back there in the next few years. The quarterback situation with Mahomes is so young. It is not Joe Montana in 1993 where you're getting him at the end of his career or you've got an aging team that they're going to have to rebuild. There's very little that needs to change on this team. Obviously, some defensive components need to change, but not a lot. This is a tweak, not a rebuild. And so a lot of encouraging things to come out of that. I think it was amazing to get to host that game. I said it on the air on Sunday. I don't want to overlook that. You know, I wanted to go to the Super Bowl. There's no question about that. I want to win a Super Bowl. But the ability to host a game at that magnitude, at that level, in Kansas City, that's an accomplishment. That is something that we have been trying to get to for my whole career of 29, 30 years of traveling with the Chiefs. And to finally get there and to get to do it, that's steps forward. That is progress. And guys, correct me, I mean, see if you feel this way too. But when we talked back in August from training camp, we all kind of looked at this to say, hey, this year might be, you know, one step backwards, two steps forward. Having a young pseudo-rookie quarterback, you know, this is going to take a while, but, you know, if we can get through this year and learn something, we'll be in position to really, go forward in the next 3 to 5 years. Well, that got all accelerated because of the play in the first 6 to 8 weeks, and all of a sudden our expectations changed. But the reality of it is we moved forward here. We got better, and the Chiefs accomplished a great deal in this season, and it's hard – right now, it's hard even for me to look at that and remember that because it is such a painful loss. And it should mean something. You know, if you drop your grandma's dish and break it and she bought it at the five and dime, it's no big deal. If you drop one of the two heirlooms that she was going to pass down through the family, that's going to leave a mark, right? I mean, it should hurt. And what's important here is that we learn how important those dishes are. To further a probably a bad analogy, next year this team knows that there's only one or two of those dishes left. We got to treat it all that much more with respect. We've got to be all that much more ready and prepared for it. And they learned a lot. I learned a lot as a broadcaster through this. I've only broadcast one other AFC championship. So,
all right, Dan, having said that, excuse me, and you're absolutely right. The acceleration of the offense and the maturity of Patrick Mahomes has, in an interesting way, put a lot of pressure on the defense, not to keep up because they can't do that, but to at least be serviceable or better. I don't think I'm the only Chiefs observer slash fan out there that doesn't have their hands up in the air a little bit about what's going to happen defensively. This is not a championship defense, and even in an age where offense is going to be the key, score more points, the fact that the Patriots were able to score the last three times they touched the football and get a coin flip during the process actually won them the football game. So where are we defensively now? Are we tweaking? Are we wholesale changes? Where do you see that white elephant in the room being addressed?
Well, it's probably too early to give you an accurate representation of what is going to happen. I'll tell you
sure.
What I probably think needs to happen is there needs to be some changes made. I think at the very least, guys, I'll say this in trying to be as transparent as possible. I'm not in those rooms I'm not in those closed door meetings where things are said. And if Bob Sutton is banging his shoe on the table, that we're on the right path, we're on the right path, and he's solely accountable, and he's probably the one that has to go and the change that needs to be made. Likewise, if Andy is saying, I want you to do this, and this is what you're going to do, then Andy's accountable. If it's Clark Hunt saying, look, we have you on a three-year contract, you're our coach, figure it out, then Clark Hunt's responsible. So without being in those meetings and actually knowing the dynamics of what's going on, from an outsider's or halfway outsider, an insider-outsider look, I think the one area that is really needs to have a lot of scrutiny is our secondary. And I think at this point you have to look maybe to Emmitt Smith, you have to look to Al Harris as those position coaches and say, why aren't these guys getting better? What's going on? Again, if inside the room they're saying, I need more talent, or I need this, or I need that, and they're being told, well, you got to work with what you got to work with, and whoever is saying that, those are the people that need to be held accountable here. But at some level, somebody needs to, wherever the accountability lands, that change definitely needs to be made. Right now, it certainly looks like Bob Sutton.
Dan,
no question that he's the leader, right?
Dan Israel,
sure.
Chiefs Radio Network, talking Chiefs after the heartbreaking loss against the Patriots in overtime on Sunday night. On the bright side, anyway, it looks like the Chiefs' offense is pretty much able to stand pat, short of a couple of free agents. I think Chris Conley may be becoming one. Don't quote me on that, but a few tweaks on the offensive line when it comes to re-signing guys. How important is it, Dan, for the Chiefs to get all their ducks in a row before 2020, before Patrick Mahomes has a potential blockbuster contract that he's due, and really for all other teams too? It's kind of the Russell Wilson blueprint, wasn't it? You know,
right.
take advantage of your young stud quarterback while he's still on his rookie deal. Without saying who in particular, and I know Bruce asked the question, but what are the tweaks do you think they need to make personnel-wise to help Patrick Mahomes before he breaks the bank?
Well, you know, I mean, you can win a hand with a pair of fours if you play it right, but I think the reality of it is, you need the cards to win the hand consistently and to feel secure about it. So to your point, it's important. I think they need to get it done. I think they need to figure it out. They need to make a couple of real serious runs here. And I think they're capable of doing that. But I think that is why you kind of feel all the more pressure to fix the defense now, to not give it another
right.
year, to not figure out what maybe you could have done differently, because it's just too much at stake. I really feel like that was this year, because at the end of last year we identified, hey, this defense probably isn't ready for prime time. you know, what are we going to do? And they went forward with it, trying to tweak it. They drafted an awful lot of defensive players. I think some of those were good. You know, I think certainly that Watts was a good draft choice, and I think the jury's probably still out on Breland Speaks. But, you know, we've seen that Tano Passanio has kind of showed flashes from year, you know, over the year, and yet he ended up not being available at the end of the year. So they need to correct the defensive woes as quick as they can, because I do think that envelope, you're going to have to start paying Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to start paying. I mean, it gets exacerbated every year that you go on. So they need to get that. That could be, I mean, you saw, I don't know if you guys saw that Adam Schefter reported that's going to be a $200 million contract. I have no idea how or why that came out on Sunday or how they got that figure. I mean, the Chiefs aren't talking that. I guarantee they weren't dealing with that kind of information at that moment in time. So I'm not sure how that came out. But any way you cut it, Mahomes is going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a big contract. And you see what that happened, or what happened at the Saints. You can see what happened with the Seahawks. When these quarterbacks get paid an awful lot of money, even the Ravens. Flacco's deal hamstruck the Ravens, and the Ravens have suffered for it. So I think it's real important.
Well, maybe we ought to call Lee Steinberg and say and ask him if he had anything to do with that report from Adam Schefter. That would be my guess that it's Genesis, but be that as it may. Dan, from a standpoint, apart from having a rooting interest in this, how badly did you feel cheated by not seeing Patrick Mahomes get a chance to get back on the field and match Tom Brady we all knew what the format was going in. We knew that if the Patriots won the toss and scored a touchdown, that they were going to win a game, just like we knew if the Chiefs won the toss and scored a touchdown, they were going to win the game. It was a fabulous game, but I got to tell you, I was left there wanting, because I wanted to see Mahomes get a chance to answer. And I guess the overarching thing here is, got to change the overtime rules. And yeah, the Chiefs saw the short end of it, but that's not my only reason. My reason is we didn't get to see the best of what that game could have been, and that game was pretty damn good as it was.
Yeah, right. I definitely think at some point they're going to have to revisit the overtime for playoff games. I get that for the regular season, it's not conducive for the way the television networks run and work, and they're the ones footing the bill for most of this. So they're not probably going to change overtime a great deal for regular season, and frankly, I'm fine with that. But when we get into these playoff games, there's just too much at stake. I know a lot of people are saying, Mahomes should have at least had the chance, the opportunity to touch the ball. Well, depending on how they changed those rules, what would have happened there? And on Sunday, it stung a lot. It was like, here's the league's probable league's MVP, and he doesn't even get to touch the ball in overtime? That seems so incredibly unfair. The reality of it is, what would have happened is he would have gone down the field, gotten a touchdown, Patriots would have gotten the ball, gone halfway down the field, kicked a field goal, and the game would have been over. So they've got to make some wholesale changes here, almost taking it to the college level, I think. And I know that the defensive players argue, hey, that takes the defense out of it and what have you, but I don't know, something needs to be fixed for these playoff games, as well as, and I'll argue that the situation with the Rams and Saints, I'm very happy that my son gets to go to the Super Bowl as a Los Angeles Ram, but that was an egregious miss on that, and they've got to figure out a way to get these, and we had them in our game as well. They've got to get that consistency of reffing fixed. These games are too important to be left up to chance like that.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, and to me, getting back to the overtime rule, the thing that bugs me the most is who gets the ball first is determined by a coin flip. Are you kidding me? We can't come up with a better option than that. And I heard yesterday on The Drive, a show here locally, Dan, in Drive Time in the afternoon, home field advantage. That would be home field advantage. That's why you play, not only to play the playoff games at your place, how about an overtime that since you're the home team and you deserved it all year long, you get the coin, or you get the ball first. Put the onus.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, I really do. First of all, it's too important to be left up to chance.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's ironic that we're we lose that coin flip in a season where we probably had more coin flips go our way than ever before. I don't know what's up with that, but it shouldn't be left up to chance, and I think that's a great way to solve it, to say if you get into overtime, one of the things that comes with home field advantage is you get the ball first. If you're not going to change the rules, then straighten that out and at least make it feel like, you know, hey, it wouldn't have been fair if we'd been in New England and hadn't gotten that ball first, but I'd still feel better about that than a coin flip.
All right, so you mentioned if the Chiefs just score 1 point in the first half, the game doesn't go to overtime, the Chiefs win. What did you see? I said on the air that a couple of days ago, or yesterday, I guess it was, that part of Patrick Mahomes' magic is what cursed him in that first half, and that he took a couple of really egregious sacks where he was trying to extend plays that all regular season long he got away with. With the AFC title game on the line, I felt like he was as much responsible for anybody as points not being on the board, especially after that long throw to Tyreek Hill. What did you see the Patriots doing to frustrate and to kind of get Mahomes off his spot?
Yeah, I know it hurts to accept that, but I couldn't agree more. I mean, it was just a situation where the New England Patriots defensive line and defensive players in general were playing a tick faster than we were, and Mahomes would normally he could get away from traffic, wasn't able to do that, and he took a sack, he took us out of field goal range, and those 3 points were the difference, you know. But those are also the situations where now you can say he's learned. He's learned that what he gets away with in the regular season isn't necessarily going to translate in the postseason, and especially not at the highest levels of postseason like the AFC Championship and Super Bowl. So hopefully he's learned, but I mean, it's hard to accept because it's the price you pay with a kid like that. They can do so much.
And he turned them into touchdowns in the regular season. That's why it's so hard to come off of.
No, and, you know, I was on the sideline. We were preparing for the trophy ceremony, so I actually moved from the booth to the sideline at the end of that game. And, frankly, watching that last 36 seconds, there was a feeling in my gut where it's like, well, the game's over. It's 36 seconds. What's he going to do with that? The mere fact he marched him down the field and got him tied, it really is phenomenal to watch this kid.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be those moments.
Yep.
Dan, it's pretty easy, low-hanging fruit to bash the Patriots. That's what success does, especially success for so long.
Let's do that. I like that idea.
I do, too. Believe me, being in Denver, I like doing that a lot. Trust me. But the fact of the matter is, for guys like you that live in the NFL, you have to almost check yourself because they're so damn good at what they do. And it's not like they don't get beaten. They do get beaten, and their plan doesn't always work. But to be in the championship game, you know better than anyone how hard it is to get to the AFC championship. All these years you've been doing this, you've been there twice. Tom Brady has been there 13 times in 17 years, along with Bill Belichick. It is maybe one of the most I don't know if it's underappreciated. It's one of the most remarkable streaks in all of sports history, what the Patriots do. And unfortunately, we got to give them their due.
Yeah, I was at dinner with Tony Baselli on Saturday night. And he said, you know what the AFC championship game is, don't you? And I said, what's that? And he said, it's the opportunity for a team in the AFC to play the Patriots to see who goes to the Super Bowl. And I thought, is not funny, and funny as that is, it's true. You're absolutely right. If you look at my career, my first AFC championship game, I was 29 years old. I'm 54 years old again. If that pattern holds true, I won't see another one. Now, I don't believe that. I mean, that's not what I believe, but the mere fact that there's been 48 years or whatever it's been of history since the merger, and that the New England Patriots and this quarterback and this coach have been in it a third of the time is remarkable. It's really statistically hard to deny. You're absolutely right.
Well, Dan, we certainly appreciate your time and your insight all season long. Hopefully we can hook back up in August again and do it all again and make another run. Hopefully it'll culminate in the Super Bowl. But in the meantime, many thanks for your visits every Tuesday during the season. We really appreciate you.
Hey, guys, it's really been my pleasure. Have a great off season. We'll talk to you probably at the draft and then again at training camp. But I enjoy being with you guys every week, man.
It sounds like a plan.
Thanks, Dan.
Take care. Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, along with Mitch Holtis, Kendall Gammon, Art Haynes, Danny Welniak, all the crew that you heard all season long over on KNSS 1330 and 97.
And what a great job they do.
They do a tremendous job.
That's a really, really good crew. They've got, of course, you know, Mitch is just so fantastic. But he's got a great crew around him, lots of different voices, points of view, perspectives, and they just do a really nice job on that network. And Dan is one of the big reasons for it. So we appreciate the time that he takes. He's been very gracious with his time with us each and every week. That's much appreciated.
Yep. Good man at Dan Israel.
Yep. So, all right. Let's turn the page, shall we? And we're going to get to the Shockers. Bob Hull, Mike Kennedy, getting ready to bring you this game on KYN on our sister station tonight as the Shockers take on USF. Let's get to all things Wichita State. And what we can expect. Because if Bob can figure out what really to expect, he probably knows more than even Greg Marshall does at this point.
Former coach himself.
We continue. Yeah, absolutely. You're darn right. Back in a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.